Welcome back to In Focus. Brady Bowman with you. Now on the phone with State Senator Tom Hawk of Manhattan and also apparently a part-time Uber driver. Tom, you there?
I am. And this Uber doesn't pay as well as I thought it would.
It doesn't, huh?
No. I only have one passenger today, and that's Representative Carlin.
We just got to drive real nice, and, you know, there might be, you know, they get tips as Uber drivers, so you never know.
I'm going to hit her up for that.
All right. Senator Tom Hawk of Manhattan on the phone with us. Both you and Sidney Carlin, we just talked to, are going to be on your way to Topeka. Really kind of, as we're speaking right now, kind of loading the car right now, right?
We are.
All right. Well, you know, I guess first off, Tom, I'll ask you kind of the same thing I asked Representative Carlin when it comes to this transition point that we're in here in the Sunflower State and having a new governor and Brownback resigning and getting that appointment. I guess a couple quick thoughts from you about that.
Well, I think we kind of, as Representative Carlin mentioned, we had Governor Sebelius leave during her last year and made that transition to Governor Parkinson. And I probably had some worries about how that might go, because you're really never quite sure how the lieutenant governor is going to function when they become the top person. I thought it worked out really well with Governor Parkinson, and there were some changes that I personally liked. Not everybody did. And what I hear about Governor Collier, and as Sidney said, I served with him in the House before he went to the Senate, he's said there's going to be a new tone. Now, we don't know what that tone is going to be, but some of his staff have sought me and other Democrats and moderate Republicans out, saying that he wants to be more inclusive than Governor Brownback was. We'll yet to see how that pans out. I'm optimistic from what Representative Carlin said about Medicaid expansion. That's our tax dollars that we're not getting the use of, and it really is hurting, as you talk, not only mental health issues that Robin Cole has pointed out, but it's hurting our hospitals here in Manhattan, and especially our smaller rural hospitals around Kansas. And I'm sincerely hoping, with Dr. Collier's medical background, that he'll be much more objective about that and give that fair consideration. And if we can get a vote on it again, not veto it. So there's quite a bit of room to be optimistic, though I don't think we'll see a big change from Governor Brownback's leadership in other areas.
Here with Senator Tom Hawk of Manhattan, the Senate Caucus Chair, actually. And that kind of leads me to a question. I know one thing with Brownback was his very tight relationship with Republican leadership in both the House and the Senate, especially Senate President Susan Weigel. What do you know about those relationships when it comes to Collier? Is it kind of the same sort of thing, same relationships there?
I'm actually anticipating them being better, because both President Weigel in the Senate and Majority Leader Denning were quite irritated with Governor Brownback's state of the state, which I found, forgive me, I thought it was comical, because my previous 5 years, my caucus and me as a Democrat was not very happy with Governor Brownback and what he said in the state of the state, was not supportive of highways or schools or even Medicaid expansion. And Governor Brownback, I thought, gave one of his best state of the state. And he said he would fund schools, would not get in a fight with the court, and believed we had to operate by the rule of law, and proposed spending $100 million a year for the next 5 or 6 years to actually meet what we believe the court is requesting. And the fact that he vetoed the budget and the tax bill, or vetoed the tax bill, I mean, really made the Republican leadership in the Senate, and I believe in the House, angry that they had to do a veto override. And then they said now the governor wouldn't support solving the problem, and now he's spending their hard work and the money that was brought in to fix our budget. So we Democrats were kind of saying that's the type of responsible governor government we need, and we were pleased finally that the governor stepped up to the plate and showed some responsibility in his state of the state.
That's right, Senator Governor Brownback mentioned adding $600 million more dollars into school funding, and that, like you said, that did have a lot of ripple effects. Do you know where that money would possibly come from, and do you know if Lieutenant Governor, soon-to-be Governor Jeff Collier, wants to kind of take that ball and run with it?
Well, as Sidney said, we suspect that Governor Collier actually did most of the heavy lifting on the budget, and several news reports indicated that. So I think that's a good sign. Of course, the Republicans said the governor didn't say where we were going to get the money, and he said there would be no new taxes. We're going to have another report on revenues, and revenues are up. We don't know if that's up because of some great accountants in the state of Kansas advising their clients to pay extra in so they can get their deductions this year. But I believe our economy has improved, as it has nationally. And so I'm optimistic that we're going to have more revenue. And I also, we're still trying to get the details of this. The legislature put a consumer price index in on funding schools in the out years. And so I think it, my own view of this, and it's not been verified by staff yet, is that full $600 million was partially funded with the school finance bill last year. So that may not be quite as heavy a lift as people were being reactive to the night of the state of the state.
And when you say out years in school funding lingo, if you can just kind of educate our listeners on what exactly that phrasing means.
Well, we do a two-year budget, so the out years would not be this next year, but 2020, 21, 22, 23. So when the governor talks about putting that extra $100 million in per year, in those years beyond this next two-year budget cycle, I'm sort of saying some of that money was built in with that CPI index to make sure that schools were funded, and I think that was a proactive way not to have litigation come back. We didn't do that in 2005 when I was first elected to the legislature. We put more money into school finance. We did what both the court and the legislature thought should be done. And then we hit the 2008 recession and we're not able to make those commitments. And I think that's what triggered that and Governor Brownback freezing the budget for education for 2 years is what really triggered the current lawsuit we're in.
Brady Bowman here with State Senator Tom Hawk of Manhattan, also the Senate Caucus Chair, a Democrat on the phone with me. And Tom, I know when it comes to school funding and that debate in the State House, you definitely come from a certain perspective on this, being involved in education for so much of your life, teaching at Manhattan School District, superintendent at the Manhattan School District. So you come with a lot of perspective on this issue.
Oh, I do, and it's still very much similar, though many things have changed since I was superintendent, but I've tried to keep my finger in it. In fact, I just met with the district's administrative staff just to make sure my view of how transportation funding has happened, and I think it's been fairly done by Dale Dennis at the State Department. There's been a lot of, I think, unfair criticism of Dale, a call for him to be suspended with pay by the Senate President and the Speaker. I think that was very inappropriate, unfair. Dale is a person of great integrity, and they agreed with me, and he's actually done the transportation funding the way the legislature asked him to do it. So I believe there's some political motivation behind that, and I'm glad I have the background of having done our budget in Manhattan and knowing how it works to know that those charges are really bogus. And we're really done to try and discredit the school funding data that's out there now. So, yes, thanks for bringing that up. And I'm very proud of the school district we have in Manhattan and the experiences I had there.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the transportation issue. That actually kind of slipped my mind for a moment. That is what everybody's really talking about right now. And when it comes to how this kind of came to light, that when you read some of the news stories about it, they say it came to light in a recent audit. But, I mean, they do those audits every year. And from what Dale Dennis has reportedly said, that he hasn't changed his calculations for decades. So wouldn't that have come up in previous audits anyway?
Yes, and in fact, we've had other court cases, and the school finance was in the budget bill we just passed. So if anyone's at fault for not catching it, it's as much the legislature as it is Dale Dennis or the State Board of Education. And like I said, I think the reason behind this is all political, because we have the court case. The legislature leadership has hired a firm out of Texas A&M, and I want to make sure Dale Dennis is there to look at their figures and make sure that they're legitimate figures when they come back to add that to the court's decision in March and April.
Because a lot of the figures that especially Senate President Susan Weigel keeps referring to in this audit, that those same numbers could have been in an audit 5 years ago or 3 years ago, but nothing was said then.
That's true. And I think the other thing that is being misled, and I'm very disappointed in President Weigel and expected a lot more out of Speaker Reitman, both their school districts are ones that got a little bit of extra transportation money because the previous legislature back in 1984, leadership had said, make sure that every district gets a base funding on transportation. And Dale said, we'll make sure we do that. And so that's how the formula was interpreted with legislative direction and intent, which is true of not just school finance, but many bills that range all the way from utility bills to parks and rec and hunting and fishing. A host of things are clarified by legislative intent because statutes are not always completely clear. And no extra money came out of the taxpayer's pocket. It was just how the transportation dollars, $300 or $400 million in the school finance budget, were distributed. So about $10 million each year went to, I think, about 15 or 16 districts to make sure they got the minimum amount. And the two biggest districts were Wichita and Shawnee Mission that got extra money. But all of those districts, including Manhattan District, spends more on transportation than we get in state funding, because we have children who live in areas that are hazardous, that don't qualify for reimbursement, but we choose to transport them so that they're safe and get to school without having an accident or getting injured.
Senator Tom Hawk of Manhattan, just about out of time. Senator, there's always so much that we want to get to and we miss, but I know we'll have you on again soon.
Well, I wanted to say one thing. I have a transparency bill that's coming up. I agree. I think that needed to be fixed, and it's a bipartisan bill to make sure every bill has a legislator name on the bill to request it. I think that will make things much better as we go forward.
All righty. Thanks so much, Senator Tom Hawk of Manhattan, traveling with Sidney Carlin. Safe travels to both of you. Thanks so much for coming on. Thanks to all our guests here on In Focus. All of it's on demand at newsradiokman.com.
Clark Howard is coming up next, followed by The Rush Limbaugh Show, Dan Patrick, Wildcat Insider is part of the game at 4, Powercat Game Day beginning at 6, K-State KU coverage at 7 with tip-off at 8. Go Cats!
KS State Bank wants to be your bank. Find the solution you've been looking for at kstatebank.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. KMAN, Manhattan.
Who's on the hour, presented by...